And Lord God, take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. Let our coming not be in vain. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And here we are. We are in the Matthew Gospel, and for those who have come in late, I got in not at the beginning when the announcements were going on, what was being said. I'm reminding you that we are studying the Gospel of Matthew. The studies are in your bulletin, those yellow sheets, the chapters, the summaries. It's on the website. Please read and have a conversation and dialogue, because there will be a quiz. There would be a church quiz. I am telling you, Christians, that we should study the Word of God. We can only be better persons by reading that precious book. And so we have been reading the book of the Gospel of Matthew. So read, get caught up, because Ash Wednesday is around the corner, and we have started because it's a long gospel. And I put the summaries and you have reading for next week. You'll see, church folks, we're getting everybody in the church involved. So please read and be informed. And so here we are in Matthew again, because the lectionary is using the Gospel of Matthew. And my sermon title today is Going Beyond Duty, the Second Mile. The Second Mile, as you could see from the cover of your bulletins, it says, being of Christ means going the second mile. You know, the second mile is always the hardest, isn't it? Whatever that second mile is, right? It's always easy. They always says new Christians, and, you know, they're running, and they're running the race. They get excited. They love the Lord until something happens, right? The second mile is always harder to go, but we are called to go the second mile. And so, you know, I want to start with this little reflection on going the second mile as I get into the text. And today we're going to look briefly at Leviticus and then at the gospel. And this little reflection starts this way. It says, father of murdered son learns that forgiveness is a daily choice. And truly, isn't forgiveness a second mile kind of thing that you have to really find it when you don't want to do it? So here's the story, a little reflection. In a recent interview in The Sun, Sister Helen Prejean, the author of the book Dead Man Walking, talked about one of her heroes of faith and forgiveness, Lloyd LeBlanc. Lloyd is the father of David LeBlanc, a 17-year-old who was murdered by Patrick and Eddie Sumner. When neighbors started arresting Miss Sumner for her son's actions, Lloyd LeBlanc came to her house with a basket of fruit. Lloyd told Miss Sumner that he was appearing to, and he understood that she wasn't responsible for the murder. Utterly amazed by this act of forgiveness, the interviewer asked Prejean, how does a parent do such a thing? Helen replied with the following story. Lloyd told me how the sheriff had brought him to the morgue to identify his son's body. David was a beautiful kid, 17 years old. He had been shot in the back and the head, and when the sheriff pulled his body out of the cold tray, Lloyd, who was good with his hands and could fix things, looked down at his son and thought, I can't fix this. And he began to pray. He came to the line in the Our Father about forgiving those who trespass against us. I didn't feel it, he said, but I knew that was where I had to go. And that is where he went. Lloyd embodies forgiveness, not just something we can do for others, but forgiveness that says, I am not going to let this anger and hatred kill me. I'm going to remain kind and loving. Forgiveness is a path, not a single act. One's commitment to it has to be renewed every day. Yes, friends, going beyond duty, the second mile. Very difficult for all of us. Not many of us can do that. And if we do, it takes us time to get there. This is what Jesus is going to be talking about today, and this is what we will see in the Old Testament text. The Old Testament reading comes from the book of Leviticus this week. Upon noting this selection, preachers may be tempted to skip once again to the gospel or the epistle reading without much pause, because most of us don't want to do Leviticus. You know that. How many times have you heard somebody do anything from Leviticus in the church? We don't. We look at the Old Testament, we say, oh, it's not something lovely, we skip it over. Most pastors don't want to deal with the intricacies of the law codes, and the purity laws. How would these restrictions and rules ever speak to complex 21st century lives? How would that deal in our context? But today, Jesus is going to bring Leviticus 19 and Matthew 5 together. And so we could ask the lectionary, those who prepared the lectionary, why they wandered into this often ignored book of the Old Testament. It's truly an ignored book. Do you know that, Leviticus? We studied in seminary, but we really don't preach on it. And how many people ever do a Bible study in Leviticus? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I'm going to make a choice, if I'm doing the whole Bible, then I'm going to do Leviticus. But if you're going to make a choice, you tend not to choose that. It could bring a lot of angst and contention because there's so much in it. The reason is simple, though, because in the gospel today that we read, the Matthew gospel for the week, Jesus actually quotes from Leviticus. Leviticus 9:18, love your neighbor as yourself, which we're going to see in Matthew 5:23. You see, what happens is, as I said to you earlier, Jesus, last week I think, Jesus is a Jewish rabbi. And Matthew is written for, Leviticus is written for everyone, certainly, but it really was speaking to Jewish believers, right? It is the law. And Leviticus is called Leviticus because it was written for what? The priest, right? It came from Levi. Right? So it's all of those laws and so on for Aaron and all the priests and the Levi and so on and so forth. So it is a lot of Jewish law in there that Jesus is either going to fulfill the law, and some of them he's going to change. He's going to modify them, if you will, or turn them around. Right? And so here we are, we have this book of Leviticus, and we're going to begin to read from it here. Things that Jesus wants his audience to hear, and certainly Matthew wants the Jewish audience to hear, and for us to hear today. But in the book of Leviticus, we are going to begin with verse 1. And verse 1 is a key verse, because it says, speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall be holy, For I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, friends, we don't tend to say that we are holy. Who walks around and say there, I'm holy? I mean, not in our context, not in our United Methodist Church here. I mean, I think there are folks who say it a lot because holy looks a certain way to us, doesn't it? Right? Holy folks, you know, we want them to look a certain way, and they have carry a big Bible. And they carry it all the time, you know, a big Bible. I used to carry a big Bible. I still have it. I came out of a church. You carried your Bible to church. Your own Bible. And I have my own Bible highlighted. Not because I'm holy. I'm just trying to get some knowledge. Right? And so you want holy folks to be wearing white and a stole. You think we're holy, but, you know, not so. We're trying to be holy. And we look at priests, and we see them in the priest's clothes, and we say, oh, they got to be holy. And if we see people praying all the time and just bowing, and we think, oh, those people are holy. Those are outward expressions. And when we see people raise their hands and in worship and so, and we say, oh, those people are holy. We tend not to say we are holy. Am I right, church? If I were to come up to you and says, what kind of Christian are you? Would you say I'm a holy Christian? Now, in our context, right? I may say it, and you laugh at me, but I'm working on being holy. Right? So we don't tend to say that. Because what does it mean to be holy? It's to be dedicated or consecrated to God or for religious purpose or to sacred. But holy has a greater meaning, you see. It has a larger meaning. It's not a passive word. Holiness is an action word. You understand? And you see that. I read this little thing on the holiness of Jesus, and it says, the difference between Jesus' holiness ethic and that of the Pharisees is this. The Pharisees refused to touch anyone unclean. Jesus aims to make the unclean holy. Amen. Jesus strives to touch those we think that are unclean. We with sin, touch us and make us clean. Does not keep anybody out. And so the song we just sang a while ago tells us, it says, take time to be holy. And here's some of the things it gives. It says, take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. If you're going to take time to be holy, you got to be talking to the Lord, Bible study readers. The only way we can talk to the Lord is through prayer and through reading his word. The second line says, abide in him always and feed on his word. Church, friends, if you're not reading his word, you could never even aspire to get to know the Lord or to be in relationship with him. Right? Who can be in relationship with anyone that you're not talking to? You know that when people are not communicating, that has broken up many marriages and relationships, right? You got to be talking to. So it says, abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing is blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend time in secret with Jesus alone. These are the words we have been singing, so we need to live them out, right? Speak to Jesus in secret alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct is likeness to see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. You know what, friends? We could find time to do everything in the world. When we want to travel, or we want to go shopping, or we want to go to a restaurant, we all are guilty of it. We could find time, we talk about it, we tell everybody, we do this. It'd be great to hear folks come in and say, I've read the Bible and look what I gleaned this week from the Word of God. We could find time for that. We ought to. We ought to find time. It makes us a better person. And so I read this other little thing that's called Humbled by God's Holiness. And it says, the pastor walked into the church alone and felt an overwhelming sense of God's holiness. And he went to the front and he knelt down at the altar rail and began to beat himself on the chest, crying out, oh Lord, I am nothing. A few moments later, the minister of music entered the church, and he too felt the overwhelming presence of God, and seeing the pastor at the altar, went and knelt down beside him. And he also began to strike his chest and say, oh Lord, I am nothing, I am nothing. Everybody is now telling the Lord they're nothing. Good thing, it happened that the whole staff, one by one, began to come in. The minister of recreation, the minister of education, eventually the whole staff, all kneeling at the altar, bemoaning their nothingness before the Almighty. A little while later, the church custodian came in and got caught up in the revival as well. And he knelt beside the ministerial colleagues and began beating on his chest, adding to the refrain, oh Lord, I am nothing, I am nothing. At that moment, the pastor looked up, saw the janitor, and nudged the music of minister and said, well, well, he said, just look at who thinks he's nothing. Right? Do you get it? Because to them, the custodian is really nothing. Right? They were of higher stature, isn't it? Just look at who thinks he's nothing next to us. One might say that we have to be careful of false holiness, because that pastor was really demonstrating false holiness. If not, he wouldn't have time to be nudging the next person, right? As they would say now, the word that's going around, that I don't want to use, fake holiness. You see, if we're going to be holy like Jesus, we have to commit our lives to him. Be holy like I'm holy, says the Lord. Therefore, the only way to be holy is to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we look at this Leviticus text, we realize that holiness is an action verb. Because the scripture tells us that Jesus says, tell the congregation, you're to be holy like I am holy. Thus saith the Lord. And then he's going to give a whole list in Leviticus, and I'm not going to read them all, you heard them. But here's some things we should be doing that when we're holy. When we're in relationship with Jesus Christ, and we know him, and when we have been studying his word, and when we have been in prayers, we expect it to do something. And he says here in verse 10, do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. He's saying, guess what? Be good to the poor folks and the foreigners. Remember that, because I am the Lord your God. And he's going to say, I am the Lord your God, in that little pericope, 6 times. He's telling us, do not answer falsely by my name and so profane the name of God. Because I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. And he continues, do not curse the deaf or put some stumbling block in front of the blind, right? But fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. So he's given us certain things to do because he is the Lord our God. So our holiness is not just a state of being. It's not just saying I am holy. It's acting like we're holy. Acting as if we're holy, doing something about it, because faith without works is dead. All right? And if we're holy like Christ and we're aspiring to be like Christ, we are going to what? Begin to do things in our church and in our community that demonstrate to those who see us that we are in relationship with Jesus Christ. Be holy as I am holy. All right? It's not just to come and sing the songs. It's not just to come and read the scriptures. It's after we have learned and have gleaned from the word, we says, oh Lord, what must I do now? How can I serve you? How can I make disciples? What can I do to let somebody know about Jesus Christ? Be holy as I am holy. Leviticus reminds us this morning that the Lord demands of us to go that second mile. He's always demanding of us. One writer says, some of the things Jesus asked us to do now in our context, as in our world, it's too difficult. Why now? No. We are expected to. So if we are like everybody else, then why bother? Why have church? What is the reason we are having church? We are having church because we are what? We're serving the Lord. We're doing things that we need to do. And there are things we do in our church that we're demonstrating that we're in relationship with Jesus Christ. It has to be more than work, isn't it? It is that we know that we're in relationship to Christ and that we must do what he calls us to do. And so Jesus now in the Bible, in the New Testament, on the Matthew, is now going to speak about 2 things that we ought not to do. Several. But he's going to talk about this 2 section, these 2 pericope of things that he expects us not to do and something that he expects us to do, right? And so from the Message Bible, it says, here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Now, when Jesus says here's another old saying, he's speaking to these Jewish believers and he's telling them about something from the law, right? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know, there's a scripture who said that. If you poke me in the eye, I poke you in the eye. I always used to wonder about that scripture, right? If you poke me in the eye, I'm going to poke you back in the eye, right? I used to always say, my God, but you can't read it out of context, right? One of those, these days, we should look at that scripture. You can't read it out of context. And so the writer says, is that going to get you anywhere? Here's what I propose. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. Now, folks, let me just confess now. I heard this little reflection. I told Zamzam long time ago when I first met Zamzam, and she kind of looked at me. She must have said, "My God," I told her this about 2 years ago, right? I said, "Zamzam, if somebody comes to my house and is coming after me, I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to fight, and I'm going to fight to the death." And she looked at me like, she must have said, "This pastor, she's going to be fighting to the..." I says, "You think I'm going to stand here and be killed?" But anyway, here's a story. The pastor was in the pulpit. I'm not giving you any ideas today. The pastor was preaching in the pulpit. The Lord is working on me. I am going to be completely holy like God is holy. At some point in my life, I'm going on to perfection. So the pastor was in the pulpit, and the pastor was preaching. Right? I read that reflection last night. And the pastor was preaching, and a guy got up out of the pulpit, probably didn't like what the pastor said, and he punched him. I'm not giving you any ideas. And that pastor, you stay back there and behave yourself. And the pastor the man punched the pastor. And they said, the people got up to get the guy, and the pastor kept preaching. Even though he had a thing on there, he had a cut that he had to get a couple of stitches afterwards. And then after they took, they got the man out, called the police, and then the pastor finished preaching, and then he took him to the hospital, got some stitches. He wouldn't take him to court, would not sue him. He was truly doing this. I am telling you, Helen, if you come to punch me, you understand? I'm just telling her now. If you come to punch me, I'm going to knock you out. I just want you all to hear that I am working on that peace, because then I'm going to pray after I knock you out. You understand? I am working, Leviticus, I know it's in here. Lord, you know that I know, but I'm going to defend myself. This hot Jamaican blood is going to be, I'm going to get going. Because it's human nature, folks. It's human nature to defend oneself. I mean, you could all raise your hand. All of you are going to just let somebody beat the poop. No, I can't say that word. Somebody just beat you up, right? It's human nature. So, but the Lord is telling us to aspire to do better. That's the second mile, right? Am I aspiring to do better? I think a couple of these things I may not get to till I get to heaven. Because it's not in my makeup to just let you beat me, right? But that's what he's saying. At least I would think about it, right? Now I'm pondering it. God, help me to get here, Jesus, please. And so the Lord is telling us these things today, right? If someone drags you into court and sues for a shirt off your back, gift wrapped your best coat and make a present of it. Message Bible. They're so cute. Gift wrap it. Now that I can do, because I'll just go buy another shirt. You know what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? I'm being real now. I know you all think this is, we have to read these things, right? I just give me another opportunity to go to Marshall's to shop. And if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat stuff. Live generously. These are things we can aspire for, right? Live generously. You know, the other day I raised my voice at something happened, and I was very frustrated, and I raised my voice because I'd been working at this thing, working on it, and I felt bad afterwards, and I called the person, and I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "You know, this is a situation that got me so frustrated. I've been working on it for how many days, but I am sorry." That's striving, because in days gone by, I probably would not have done that. And I felt better. I didn't feel I felt any less. I felt that I did something to please the Lord. We all get there in certain areas, don't we? Right? It says, you're familiar with the whole written law. Love your friend and its unwritten companion. Hate your enemy. But he says, I'm challenging that. I am telling you to love your enemies. Right? Love your enemies. Jesus is now challenging from the Old Testament. Love your enemies, right? Love them. Very hard for us, but we have to work. Let them bring out the best in you and not the worst. And when someone gives you a hard time, respond with energies of prayer. Isn't that amazing what the Lord wants us to do to make good Christians out of us? And then he goes on to say, he says, listen, God is gracious because the Son shines, rain falls on the good and on the bad. God is so gracious that the person who is wicked, you know, the person who has a lot of money who don't go to church and give to nobody, the sun is shining on them. And the sun is shining on us, right? Don't we wish that those folks who do bad wouldn't get a thing? Yeah, we do. Sometimes I say, Lord, why are you taking care of them? That's not Christian, right? That's unholy. The sun warms them and the rain nourishes everyone regardless of good or bad, right? And he says, if all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. And you know the babies are so cute. Remember your little baby she brought here? Little baby back here, little one, the little grandchild. So beautiful. We could just love them and kiss them and smell them, don't we? They're so beautiful. And then somebody who's grown, we can't. Because it's so easy to love them because they're lovable. Right? And the Lord says that's not it. He says any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. We need to grow up. It says here in the Message Bible, grow up. And then he says, live generously and graciously towards others, the way God lives towards you. And so as I close, it says, the way God lives toward us, we should live graciously to other people. It is the second mile, church. That second mile that we have to attempt to cross. We know that life's trials and tribulation comes to us, ups and down, and shakes our faith. And then we forget sometimes the goodness that God has done. But God is always calling us to do what? To go that second mile, right? For someone, in a certain circumstance, in our own lives. And the only way we can be reminded of these things is to read God's Word. And so, I want to share this with you. I shared it earlier. And I know that Tracy heard me share this before, because there are people here, and I must say, in our church that are going the second mile, people who have groups that they're doing, and we have the food pantry, we have other things. We're going beyond just duty, right? Because duty would demand that we come to church and we do certain things. But when we go the second mile, we find something outside of ourselves and beyond, something that may take away time from ourselves. Time from, you know, our sleep, time from what we'd like to do, watch TV, whatever, we're retired, time from whatever, and find something to do. Not because we get paid for it, but because we are doing it to the glory of God. Not because we get a dime for it, but because we know it is to the glory. Everybody who serves in this church, serve on the committees, serve in different areas, we're trying to go the second mile. And so, you know, in order to be holy like the Lord is holy. It's work in process, aren't we? We're in work in process. So I shared today that I meant to share this a while ago because this happened in January. But when I was at the Bishop's Convocation, we always go away once a year. They change his name, Bishop Retreat, Bishop Convocation. But this happens in January. And we come from all the districts, it's upstate somewhere, in the Catskills, I think. So our new bishop was there, and he was talking about prayer and life and what we should do. And he called this the breath prayer. And he had on his watch. You ever know those little tags that you could buy to put a price on, and you put them on jewelry and things when you're selling, right? Those little round tags. This was a small one. Now, when they gave us our packet, we all had these little, each one of us had one of these little things. And I think, what is this for? We all are thinking. Well, what he did is he showed it to us, and it was on his watch. Right on the face of the watch, he had one. And he said, you see this that's on my hand? It reminds me to pray. He says, every time he looks at it, you know, if he sees it because he's busy, has 400 and some churches and all, he looks at it, it reminds him to pray. And he says, it's not a long prayer. He encouraged us, it's called a breath prayer, to write a simple one-line prayer. So that it reminds us during the day to pray. So I got my little round thing, and I had kind of lost it. You know, it fell off because it wasn't good, and I got scotch tape, and I tape it to my phone because I don't wear a watch, right? I have one, but I always wear bracelets, which I change all the time. So I put it to my cell phone. Some other people did, because I saw a couple of the other sisters. So I put my little thing on my phone from that day. And I know my little prayer was a simple prayer. It's in my head, but I decided, you know, I'm going to tape my prayer to the back of my phone. And sometimes, even when I get angst and get overwhelmed, I pick up my phone. I'm doing my phone for something. I'm going to do something. And I see the prayer, see the phone, and I just what? Say the prayer. And my little prayer is simple. It says, Lord, let me feel your spirit leading and guiding me right now. Amen. So my prayer was nothing about anything personal. Just let me feel your spirit leading and guiding me right now. And I say this prayer all the time now. I'm in the middle, I'm driving, something, because I see it. I don't always remember, but as I pick up my phone and I see it, I say that little prayer. Just trying to do what? To be holy. Trying to live righteously before the Lord. I'd like to encourage you, if you so choose, you could get your own Lord put in. The little things are very small, much smaller than this. And they put them on their watch, and we see a few of us still have it. And what it does, it reminds you to say a prayer, your own prayer. Whatever your Lord, I'm trusting you today. Lord, give me the strength to go through what I'm going. Whatever it is in your heart. And you could say any prayer, but it reminds you. It reminds you to keep connected to the Spirit of the Lord. It reminds you to keep connected to what the Lord has been doing in your life. To remind us to keep connected to the love of God in Christ Jesus that loves us. And it will calm you down. And as I close, I'll tell you this. I was driving the other day and trying to get up to White Plains, and somebody cut me off, and my phone was next to me on my seat. And I was going to start raging the car by myself, and I looked down and I says, oh Lord, let your spirit be with me. You know, it could temper you, right? It could temper you, because it brings you back and brings you center. You take a moment to just get yourself. Be holy as I am holy. Is it easy? No. But it's something that we can do. And if Napoleon can be moved by a mother's request, I'll close with this. There was a story told about a mother who came to Napoleon on behalf of her son who was about to be executed. The mother asked the ruler to issue a pardon, but Napoleon pointed out that it was the man's second offense and justice demand death. I don't ask for justice, the woman replied. I plead for mercy. The emperor objected, but your son doesn't deserve mercy. Sir, the mother replied, it would not be mercy if he deserved it, and mercy is all I ask. Her son was granted pardon. You see, we don't ask justice from God. Justice would say we get exactly what we deserve. Whatever we have done, we get justice. Mercy says, I'm going to take care of you. I know you messed up, but if you ask for forgiveness, I'll forgive you. That's mercy. That's why we say God is a God of mercy in these cases. I know you didn't do right over there, you did whatever, but if you ask for forgiveness, I'm going to grant you mercy. Mercy is not what we deserve. Mercy is what God grants to us. And so we give God thanks for his mercy, and we seek to be in right relationship with him. Amen.